Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, June the 26th. State Senate Democrats will likely pass a budget later today that completely revamps Wisconsin's health care system. It would offer universal coverage paid for through a $15 billion payroll tax. While labor unions embraced the plan, some business groups and Republicans called it a job killer. We'll get the details on the plan dubbed Healthy Wisconsin in this report from Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter Sean Johnson. And then we will welcome in the architect of the plan, State Senator John Erpenbach.
For Senate Democrats, sticking a universal health care plan in the budget kills a few birds with one stone. It shines a spotlight on one of their pet issues and fulfills campaign promises for many of them. It could also provide them bargaining power once budget negotiations get underway. For Alma freshman Senator Kathleen Vinehout, it's also personal. Before she got elected last year, Vinehout's family didn't have health insurance. She says Wisconsin residents shouldn't be stuck in that situation.
We can have coverage for all so that none of us need pay more with our suffering or with our pocketbook.
Getting there would cost the average business $370 a month for each of its employees. The average worker would have to kick in $140 a month. Democrats say that forces everyone to pay their fair share, but it does create winners and losers. Bill Smith of the National Federation of Independent Businesses says some of his members who can't afford to offer health insurance would get hit hard.
They will have a devastating impact on the self-employed, small businesses, sole proprietors, and typically thousands of firms operating with a small profit margin. This proposal will guarantee Wisconsin will never be home to the next Microsoft or any other innovative entrepreneur.
Smith says he's all for improving health care in Wisconsin, but a payroll tax is a non-starter for his group. Supporters contend most businesses and employees would end up paying less than they do right now. David Newby is president of the AFL-CIO of Wisconsin, which helped draft this plan. He says this tax would simply replace what people are already paying in premiums.
We have to get that straight. It's a substitution and a lowering. It is not an increase on top of what we are already paying.
That will be a tough sell with Republican lawmakers. GOP Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch has already pledged to fight the tax increases proposed by the governor, and they're small compared to what's in this health care plan. Brookfield Republican Senator Ted Canevas says he doesn't think the state would even benefit from the investment.
I have never seen a government decrease administration or decrease the cost of managing a program in my 46 years. Okay, it doesn't happen.
Republicans also criticized the way this plan was introduced. Senate Democrats have been working on it for months, but they kept the details secret until yesterday morning, just an hour before they held a public hearing. It's still not clear whether Senate Democrats could expect the support of their own party leader on this issue. Governor Jim Doyle has a more targeted health care plan of his own in this budget that would expand Badger Care to cover more low-income residents. The governor has never endorsed the idea of using a payroll tax to fund universal health care. That didn't change when he was asked about the possibility yesterday.
I think there's other ways for us to go. Obviously, I put forth in my budget a plan that would increase the availability of affordable health care insurance up to 98% of the people, and I'm going to work very hard to see that the plan that I've put forward is enacted in this budget.
Whatever budget Democrats pass out of the Senate today will be much different than the version GOP lawmakers pass in the Assembly. At that point, both sides will likely sit down at a conference table. The new fiscal year technically starts this coming Sunday, but the stark differences over this health care plan only reinforce the suspicion that this budget battle will drag on for months. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
So we wonder what you think. Is this health care plan for Wisconsin, this plan for universal health care for Wisconsin residents, welcome or not, as far as you're concerned? Is this a lifesaver or a job killer? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are happy to have with us John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton. He chairs the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, one of the architects of the Senate Democrats' plan to bring universal health care to the state. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
So this is a plan that would provide all of us the same type of coverage that you receive?
Yep, same kind of health care packages that I will have, that the governor will have, that Supreme Court justices will have, that anybody who works for the state will have.
Yeah, and why pay for it through this payroll tax?
Well, if we're going to call it a payroll tax, you have to look at the other equation. It costs about $15.2 billion to run this. At the same time, businesses that are providing health care right now, it costs them about $17 billion. So if we're going to call it a payroll tax, we also have to call it about a $2 billion payroll cut.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be certain people around this building, and you've been knocking around this here for a little while, so you know, you've seen stuff like this come and go before, who are just afraid of the idea of changing something that isn't really working anymore. There are some people who think that the status quo is okay for now. You know, we can patch it up here and we can patch it up there. The real problem here in the state of Wisconsin is the frustration level of people has reached a tipping point. I mean, they've had it. You're seeing some excessive profits in certain aspects of healthcare, whether it be some of the drug companies or maybe some insurance companies out there, and people are just basically saying enough is enough. They want to see change. They want healthcare. They want everybody to pay their fair share, but it has to be affordable, and that's kind of what we've done with this plan.
Yeah, respond to Bill Smith of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, who says that this will have a devastating impact on the self-employed and small businesses, sole proprietors, etc., that they have such a small profit margin they can't afford doing something like this.
Oh, I disagree. I totally disagree with Bill. I think it's just going to be the opposite. I think it's going to help the self-employed. Anybody working in a job right now who does want to start a business but has to stay in their job for the benefits, that's not an issue anymore. The reason why the smaller companies out there that don't provide health care right now is because they simply cannot afford to do it. It's extremely expensive to insure a small company. If you've got a company of 3 or 4 people or 10 people and somebody gets sick, your health insurance is going to, as soon as they possibly can, they're going to drop you. And then what you do is you shop around and you try and find something that's affordable, and there isn't anything affordable out there at all for small businesses after they've been through something like this. So if anything, what this does, Joy, is this makes healthcare, a great healthcare benefit package, extremely affordable for the smallest of businesses out there.
Yeah. What about Republicans like, let's see here, Senate Minority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says this plan would dismantle Wisconsin's health care system, which ranks among the nation's best in quality.
Oh, no, not at all. It doesn't dismantle the health care system at all. What it does is it opens the door to affordability. Under this plan, Joy, you choose your doctor, you choose your plan. It's your choice, your plan. It probably won't look a lot different as it does now when you go to see your doctor, no matter where you see your doctor. But the big thing is you are going to have a primary care doctor, and you're going to have to participate in this. Those who do not have insurance tend to cost us a tremendous amount of money in the long run. And this isn't dismantling the system at all. It's really enhancing the system. When we put the package together, we did not want to reinvent things. We didn't want it where it was a government-run type of system. We wanted to keep it in the private sector. But at the same time, people who are going to be paying for this, and this will be you and I and everybody else in the state, we're going to have some oversight. We're going to have a say in how things look. But this is not dismantling it at all. And keep in mind, you know, I like Scott. He's a good friend of mine, and we disagree on a lot of things, and this is one of them. The Republican alternative to health care is a $1,200 deductible, a health care savings account, and a tax break to help you pay for your premium, which is a pass-through to the insurance companies. This is all about maintaining quality but lowering the cost.
Yeah, so this would cost an average business $370 a month for each of its employees, and then the average worker would chip in about $140 a month?
Right. The average household income in the state is $42,333 a year. For that household, it will cost that household about $140 a month. There are copays in this plan, $20 copay when you go to see your doctor, but you don't have to pay the copay if you're going in to see your doctor for anything that's considered preventative, whether it be a mammogram, physical, you know, that kind of stuff. There are no copays for kids. If you have a chronic disease, excuse me, those with chronic diseases, you've heard the old 20-80 number. It's 20% of the people use about 80% of the healthcare dollar out there. So there are incentives in here to get on a program to better manage your chronic disease. So there are no co-pays for anybody with a chronic disease who stays on the program, who sticks to what their doctor is telling them to do. It's a $20 copay for an emergency room visit. If it's an inappropriate emergency room visit, it'll be a $60 copay. There's a $300 deductible for a single person and a $600 deductible for a family. And again, it's the basic state employee plan, which is a great plan, plus mental health parity and preventative dental for kids.
Wow. Yeah, but I can't say I don't want that, or my employer can't say I can't afford that, I'm not doing that.
No, the employer, if you're going to be in business in the state of Wisconsin, you're going to have to do this. And again, with the employee out there, if you don't want the what we call the plan of choice for the state, which would be the highest quality, lowest cost plan, you still have options. You still have a choice. You can go see into another type of delivery system, but you will have to have a doctor. You will have to have health care.
Talking with John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, Chair of the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, one of the architects of a plan unveiled by Senate Democrats yesterday to bring universal health care to the state of Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This plan was put into the state budget, which will also be taken up today by the state Senate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned, Ben Marins is with you this afternoon. After 5, Ben and his guest will talk about the latest findings of the Badger poll on national issues. One of the poll results, maybe not too surprising, most of us are very unhappy with the war in Iraq. That's coming up after 5 o'clock. We're talking about universal health care in Wisconsin, a proposal that was unveiled yesterday by Senate Democrats. We're talking with one of the Democrats involved with this plan, John Erpenbach, state senator from Middleton. Lots of callers for you, Senator Erpenbach. Let's go to the phones and take our first caller, Philip in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to make two brief points. My first one is, I think this comes down to viewing health care as a right or as a personal responsibility. And I think the senator on the show today views it more of as a right. I view it as a personal responsibility. And what I mean by that is I think if you have a universal plan, you're going to de-incentivize the system. So people aren't going to have as much incentive to remain healthy, as well as the healthcare providers aren't going to have as much incentive to remain competitive. And that's why we have the best system in the world. That's why people come from all over the world to the Midwest, especially Minnesota and Wisconsin, for health care. And it worries me that we're always talking about this system as broke when I don't see anyone traveling up to Canada to go get their heart worked on. They're coming here. And I would much rather pay more for that and keep the incentives in place.
Now, what's your response to that, Senator Erpenbach?
Well, I do believe health care is right, but at the same time, there is a lot of personal responsibility that has to be tied in with any health care system. And I don't think that the delivery system is broken at all. I really, truly don't. I think it's more a matter of opening up the doors to everybody else, to the delivery system. We have about the third highest health care costs in the nation. Our health care costs are very, very high. And within the health care proposal that we have forwarded, there are incentives to take personal responsibility. There are punishments if you do not take personal responsibility. And there's also a whole bunch of items within the proposal that do deal with competition, encouraging competition where it doesn't exist right now. Transparency and cost versus what is being charged right now. There are incentives in there for the providers to deal with best practice as far as medicine is concerned, focus on quality, streamline administration. So there's all sorts of things within this proposal to do what Philip is concerned about. And as far as Canada goes, you know, he's right. People are not driving to Canada to get something fixed. But at the same time, this is not a Canadian-run system at all. One thing people were trying to get to Canada for is their drugs. Seniors are trying to buy their drugs through Canada, and rightfully so, because they can't afford them down here. So drugs become a little bit cheaper under this proposal as well.
What sort of incentives are in there to encourage my personal responsibility?
Well, the copays. So, in other words, if you do have a chronic disease and you don't stick to your program, the copays are going to kick in. At the same time, if you use emergency room and it's a deemed inappropriate use of the emergency room, you're going to have to pay $60 as opposed to $20. There are copays to go see the doctor for things outside of preventative care, because one of the things we really wanted to focus on is healthy and people being well in the state. So we did not want them to have to pay a copay to go see the doctor for basic preventative medicine. There are $300 and $600 deductibles, respectively, and there are all sorts of areas where the Board of Trustees, who will be administering this plan, will be focusing on wellness and best practices and outcome when it comes to health care.
Next, we go to Jim in Middleton. Hi, Jim.
Hi. First of all, Senator Erpenbach, thanks for the great work.
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate it. You've done a marvelous job. I'm amazed at the way the Republicans are attacking this. First of all, we're really not talking about a tax here. We're talking about a premium. That's what you use to pay for insurance. And they're making it sound, and I have to say that some of the media outlets are making it sound as if it's a $15 billion increase in our taxes, which simply isn't the case. Now, I've analyzed this from a cost standpoint. As you may know, Senator Mark Miller asked me to do a cost analysis of his plan. Secondly, small businesses are really going to benefit under this. Most small businesses and farmers cannot afford the individual policies or the small group policies that are available through commercial insurance. The premium costs are excessive, and the copays and the deductibles are very high. And if you have a really serious illness, you may be told that you cannot get it covered or they won't pay the claim because it's a pre-existing condition. The final area that I want to address is what Senator Roessler said at the hearings yesterday. She said that 88% of health care cost is for direct care, that 12% is for administration. That's a totally misleading statement. 12% of the commercial insurer's expense is for administration, but you have to add in the administrative expenses that are triggered by managed care practices among physicians and hospitals. And when you take that all together in the state of Wisconsin, it's about 28%. Your plan will cut that from about $3.5 billion, according to my own estimate, down to about $1.7 billion. I said million, I meant billion.
Right, I'm getting a little bit lost in all of these numbers, Jim. I appreciate the call, but the essence of that is that administrative costs will be less, is what he's saying, Senator Erpenbach?
Right, they will be substantially less. Jim brings up a couple of good points. First of all, I do want to touch on the pre-existing condition issue. That doesn't really exist anymore under this proposal. You will never be denied health care because you have cancer or had open-heart surgery or whatever. The health insurance risk-sharing pool, which is kind of was a private government-run thing, which is now a public government-run healthcare delivery system for those who can't get healthcare anywhere else, which is now kind of a private deal. That goes away, too, because everybody on the HRSP program, which is good but very expensive, is folded into this. So if you lose your job, you will not lose healthcare. If you switch jobs, you're not going to lose healthcare. So for those dealing with pre-existing conditions, this is, I think, for them a very, very important thing. Secondly, the actual cost of what we're dealing here with how much we're saving, those numbers do tend to get lost along the way. The Republicans are calling this a $15.2 billion tax increase on businesses. At the same time, as I said earlier, businesses who are providing health care right now, this is a $2 billion savings for them. There is a $1.36 billion tax savings to local government right off the top. We save hundreds of millions of dollars in administrative overhead. And the legislation is very specific that 92% or 92 cents on the healthcare dollar goes to direct patient care. Only 8% can go to administrative overhead. So there are savings all over the place with this particular idea.
Yeah. And what do you prefer the media say, that you're going to pay for this through what, a payroll tax or premium?
I don't have a problem with what they're calling it, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's in the end, that's what we're doing. But at mm-hmm. the same time, if you're going to call it a payroll tax increase, you have to turn around and take a look at the other part of the equation. And the other part of the equation is it's a $2 billion right. tax cut for those already providing health care.
Got it. Judy in Reedstown, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, I'd like to begin by saying I did pay 30 years of high premiums to a company which didn't pay me when I got sick, but I'm worried about the Democratic plan that you're talking about today. I'm worried that it's so radical it might kill off Governor Doyle's plan. I wonder if the state would try to control costs under a Doyle-type plan rather than taxing payrolls like we're talking about today. Could we extend coverage and begin demand and enforce a quid pro quo, which would restrain coverage denials by insurance companies for the people that retain their insurance. Insurance companies routinely deny policy owners mm-hmm. by saying, this is not a reasonable and customary charge, you're not getting any money. Well, I'd like to know whether we could provide state oversight, monitor those kinds of things, and a certain percentage of denials from a company would trigger an inquiry or some kind of restraint. Same thing with hospitals. Are mm-hmm. they really competing by doing better medical work, or is it the lobbies? The interior decoration is staggering, lovely, luxurious. And is there a possibility of restraining medical costs for nonprofit hospitals, at least to a point, a non-medical cost, spending to a percentage of their budget that year?
Okay, sounds like we got a lot of questions here.
Well, Judy, in a very, very polite mm-hmm. way, hit on every single frustration mm-hmm. that the people of Wisconsin are mm-hmm. feeling right now. First of all, Governor Doyle has proposed Badger Care Plus, and this is built upon Badger Care Plus. We love the idea of what Governor Doyle is proposing in his budget, and we have to have that become law. This does not replace what the governor is proposing. The insurance companies, Judy's absolutely positively right. They are set up to deny. That's the nature of insurance right now. Even though we pay for the insurance, they are set up to deny our claims. That doesn't happen anymore under this proposal. And the hospitals, I mean, if you take a look at the skyline of Madison, you see a lot of construction cranes, and they're basically around the hospitals. What the hospitals need to do is they need to sit down and take a look at what's the greater good for the community they serve, as opposed to what's the greater good within their own four walls. I'd like it where they start sharing their facilities. They certainly should start sharing equipment. All of that brings down the cost of health care delivery in the state.
Yeah, Badger Care Plus would extend health care to all children in the state and more lower-income people?
Right, and also Badger Care Plus deals with childless insurance for low-income childless adults as well. So, again, what the governor has proposed is wonderful for people who truly, truly cannot afford insurance. At the same time, what we are proposing is something much larger than mm-hmm. that you know, for just the average family out there, we really, truly, truly can't afford insurance anymore. So what are we going to do about that? And so what we're doing, again, is we are providing, chances are, a better health care package for most of the people here in the state of Wisconsin. We are covering people who do not have health care right now. And we're doing it at a lower cost than what people are paying right now by about $2 billion.
Now, the governor says that, I believe, that Badger Care Plus is his priority, and
yep.
he kind of had a little bit of a lukewarm reaction to your idea. What do you think of the governor's reaction?
Badger Care Plus is our priority as well. Badger Care has been our priority. Senior care is our priority for the Senate Democrats. And we are not, believe me, we are not driving, leaving that one by the wayside, because we have to have it here in the state of Wisconsin. I think the governor's concerns when we met with him was more so the process is, you know, putting in the budget as opposed to, you know, doing it in separate legislation. But you know what, Joey, we would not have senior care today if it wasn't inserted in the state budget. Mm-hmm. That would have never become law. So
yeah, why do that, Senator Erpenbach, unveil this pretty dramatic proposal yesterday and have a public hearing right away and then put it in the budget that you're going to be voting on today?
Well, we spent the last 7 months or so, 6 months, driving around the state holding informational hearings on the various plans that were out there. We've been working on this plan for about 6 months, and the Republicans are going to pass their Healthy Wisconsin, or not Healthy Wisconsin, but the Patients First Plan, mm-hmm. which is basically tax breaks for the premiums, health care savings accounts, and high deductibles. What we are doing with this, by putting this into the budget, is we want the Republicans to face the issue of health care. We want to force this discussion. And if we didn't do anything, we wouldn't have that. we also want to get this to the governor's desk. and we want the governor to sign it into law. So ideally, this is the best way to go. We put it in the budget. We have the debate today. We had a hearing on a budget amendment yesterday, which has never happened before in the Capitol. Everybody will know what's in it when we go to vote later today or tomorrow. And throughout the course of the summer, when things probably slow down here a little bit, we are certainly taking this out on the road for town hall meetings and public mm-hmm. hearings. And the one thing I do want to ask for any business owners that are listening right now is I really want them to take a look at the numbers and run the numbers and see exactly what it means for them. Chances are they're going to save money, and if they do, I would love to hear from them. There's growing support among the business owners out there for this. We had a gentleman from Mosinee yesterday in testifying. He's the HR director at a firm that employs about 800 people around the state. He sat down, looked at the plan, gave him the exact numbers. He ran the numbers for his company. He saves $4.3 billion a year.
Let me bring in a business person who supports the plan. Alan in Oshkosh, go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
I've been a solid Republican all my life, but I've got to break ranks on this one. Because my business, I employ myself, my son, and I have a part-time person here. And I'm not able to offer insurance for everybody because my own cost, just to insure myself and my wife, and we're raising a granddaughter, the premium costs us about $2,000 per month.
Jeez.
And with that, I get a $5,000 deductible.
Oh.
And it is unrelenting. If I miss that premium 1 month, I have no insurance at all. When you get close to 65, like I am getting there, the costs go up and up and up, and you can't get out of it. You can't go search for another plan because nobody will cover you if you're over 62. The people that have you have to take you. I can't see how this is possibly going to be oppressive on small businesses. Certainly, it's going to be less than $2,000 a month. And just one other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that because I am self-employed and I have to pay this premium out of my pocket, I'm paying it with pre-tax dollars, which means I'm being taxed on these premiums also. And as a result, I have to raise my salary enough so that I have to draw money out of my business to pay my health insurance. And by drawing the money out of the business, it makes my salary on paper look bigger than it actually is. So I can't qualify for any of the state plans or any assistance whatsoever. It's just a real iron grip that you're in.
What Alan is looking at here is if it's $2,000 a month, what Alan's going to save out of his own pocket, what he pays for himself and his wife and his granddaughter, is going to be more than enough to cover not only Alan but also the employee he has. Again, those who are paying benefits right now, chances are they're going to save, and in some cases save an awful lot. And I have yet to meet a business owner that does not want to provide some sort of benefits for their employees. What this does, what this plan does, is it brings health care costs down into a very affordable range for just about everybody out there. And I tend to say that if you can't afford this, then you're probably qualified for Badger Care or Badger Care Plus. That's how affordable this plan is.
Thank you, Alan, for the call. We got an email from Rebecca in Racine who wants to know how this would affect those of us who work for the state itself or other public municipalities such as county, cities, etc.
Well, what this does is obviously, like I said, it saves the state and local government about $1.36 billion a year. What happens is this does not void any contracts that are out there. So what the emailer in Racine negotiated as far as the health care benefit package goes, that stays that way until the contract is up, until the agreement is up. But at the same time, when the agreement is up, yep, they are put into this purchasing pool into Healthy Wisconsin, but they also have the ability to negotiate with the employer supplemental insurance like better vision or better dental, or they also have the ability to negotiate with the employer that the employer picks up a portion of the premium costs or the deductible or whatever the case may be. Worst case scenario is that everybody in the state who has health care right now will have a really good health care package, but at the same time there's going to be more money on the table now for actual dollar raises for the employees that are out there. So I've looked at this plan, Joy, for about the past 6 months from every different possible angle I could. We've thrown the kitchen sink at this as far as what we think might be wrong with it, as far as what we think those who won't like it will say. And I think this is the best, most comprehensive health care plan the state has ever seen, and I think it's one of the best the nation will ever see.
Talking with John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, Chair of the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, one of the architects of the Senate Democrats' new plan to bring universal health care to the state of Wisconsin. The Healthy Wisconsin plan, unveiled yesterday, would rely on a payroll tax or premium to pay for the universal coverage. The average worker in Wisconsin would kick in about $140 a month, and the average business would pay $370 a month for each of its employees. And then everybody gets health care coverage, much like state lawmakers and even the governor of the state of Wisconsin. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? It's going to be in the state budget, which the state Senate takes up today. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network. Good to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn is with you after 9 o'clock. And Kathleen will be welcoming in Stanley Cutler, an emeritus professor of law at UW-Madison. We'll talk about the confirmation hearings for Admiral Michael G. Mullen for Joint Chiefs of Staff. Will this be a platform to debate past policies and future course in Iraq? That's coming up. Stay tuned for that. We're talking about a new state health care plan by Senate Democrats, Healthy Wisconsin. Talking with John Erpenbach, one of the authors of this universal health care plan, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. An email from Kathleen in Madison. I would like to know how the self-employed fit into this proposal. Those of us who pay for our own coverage and don't have access to group rates are being driven into lower income brackets by the out-of-control cost of premiums and deductibles.
Absolutely. The way it works for self-employed out there is they pay 9 to 10% of their Social Security income, or you know what they pay, the income they pay Social Security on. That's it. In most cases, for the self-employed out there, especially if they're not in any sort of type of pooling small business, whether it would be a chamber of commerce plan or something out there, it should save them an awful lot of money. But again, it's all based on their ability to pay. But they will have the same plan as I do, the same plan as the governor does. And chances are that would cost the self-employed an awful lot of money to get what I have right now.
Yeah, Dan in Dane is with us now. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, hi. Nice to be on the show this morning. After listening to all the other callers' comments, especially that one over in Middleton, talk about the costs, I like the way he broke that down. But there was like a couple questions I had. One was with all this, if this was like immediate or within a matter of months after it was passed or whatever, I was wondering if that would overwhelm the current facilities that there are in the state, because there is, like, you know, there's so many people that don't use health care. And the other part is the hospitals were complaining about that Badger Care tax Governor Doyle had put across to pay for that, because they say that they're already writing off so much like emergency room care. You would assume that a lot of that would disappear because so many people would be covered then automatically through whatever, you know, with this plan. And the other thing is, when I was down in Middleton shopping, or actually Madison, over at this bicycle shop, a self-employed contractor who's been in business for about 8 years, he said just because of health insurance, he is probably going to quit his business and go back to working for the union as a union worker, just because of health insurance and the fact that he has to cover his kids. So, and that's basically about it. If this does go through, I think this is going to be one big hit for Wisconsin. And I vote on the conservative side,
Dan, you said one big hit for Wisconsin?
Yeah, this is going to be one big hit. This will put Wisconsin back where, because Wisconsin used to be a big star in doing things, you know, but And I'm originally from Oshkosh. I moved back here to the state here about 10 years ago, and I've just seen everything just go downhill. There's everything costs so much, and this health care issue is just one of the biggest ones.
Yeah. All right. Senator Urbanback?
Well, Dan brought up some very, very good points. First of all, if this were law today, it would not be in effect until January 1st of 2009. We obviously need a little bit of time to get things going if this becomes law. As far as the hospitals go, hospitals wrote off a little over $700 million last year in bad debt. At the same time, their profit was still above $1 billion collectively. I mean, they did pretty well. For the most part, the bad debt does go away because, as Dan pointed out, what happens is people will be covered. So there won't be nearly as much debt that the hospitals will have to deal with. I mean, that causes me a little bit of concern based on the amount of construction I'm seeing right now, because they're going to have even more money to do it. But at the same time, hospitals in the state do a great job, and it is very expensive to do what they do. So anything we can do to help cut down on the debt is great, and that this plan does this. And as far as you know, if this gets up and running, what it means is it going to be a big jolt to the system? You know, yeah, it is. Not a huge jolt, but it'll be a jolt simply because there are people out there that don't have health care right now, and they're going to have to get in, get treated, get fixed, and then maintain their health care. But at the same time, what this does for the doctor-patient relationship is amazing, because this is going to free up more time for doctors to do what they love to do, and that's to practice medicine, simply because doctors will not be burdened the way they are now with the administration that they have to deal with and dealing with all the insurance companies and all the forms that are out there. So doctors will have more time not only for the new patients that they'll be getting, but also for the patients that they have right now. And at the end of the day, the medical decisions will be made between the patient and the doctor, which is the way it should be.
I think when I interpreted Dan saying that it was going to be a hit, as in a good thing.
Yeah, that's the way I'm kind of looking at it, too. I do know that there is some interest in a national state organization out there as far as what we're doing in Madison and how we got to this point with this particular piece of legislation. But I do think if this becomes law, a lot of states will look to Wisconsin and try and do exactly what we did.
Yeah, how different is this from the one we heard a whole lot about in Massachusetts?
Well, this one is better funded. This one is more rational in the thought that, okay, we're not going to exempt anybody. Nobody can opt out of this thing. Everybody has to be covered, because what happens when people start opting out is the insurance companies come along and start cherry-picking the healthiest of the healthy. And then as a result, those that are left behind, you know, the insurance rates go up. But we had the opportunity to take a look at what every state's done. California does this 85-15 model where 85% of the healthcare dollar has to go to direct patient care. In our legislation, we're at 92%. So we had the opportunity to take a look at what other states have done, pick up the good stuff, leave behind the bad stuff. But most importantly, we did not reinvent the wheel at all here in the state. We just enhanced what is already out there.
Yeah. Scott in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just have two quick questions. The first one is, the figures you threw out for, I think it was about $375 for the employer and $140 for the employee. Is that individual, or would that cover a family? That's the first question.
It's a good question. It depends on the situation, Scott. For example, if you're at home and your spouse is home with you, but you're working, the $140 on the average house, that's what it would cost for the family. If both in a household are working, then they both pay.
Okay, and then the other question, let me preface this with, I am a proponent of universal coverage. I am an employer with about 12 employees, but here's the philosophical difference I have with you is, we need to get it out of the employer-based system. I don't understand why it is that people think that it's the obligation for the employer to pay for an employee's health insurance, and I provide this because for some reason we've just all had that idea that you should do it. I mean, I don't pay for their car insurance, I don't pay for their renter's insurance, I don't pay their homeowner's insurance. Why is it that you and others really think that it's our responsibility as an employer to pay for their health insurance? I think it should be a universal system based on a tax system where we all participate, be it a single payer system. I think you've got to get this out of the employee employer based system. I think that is the one thing that really causes a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. And I just see, I see premiums, fees, taxes, however you want to put it, continuing to escalate until that system is completely replaced. I almost look at it from an ethical and moral standpoint. I really think it's wrong to expect an employer to pay for somebody's health coverage.
Yeah, all right, Senator Urquhart.
Right, and just to give you a brief history on this, employers started offering health care, I think it was after World War II, I think. Could be wrong on that, as an incentive to go out and get employees for their company. And the system, you know, we've just got used to that system. Scott brings up a really good point. We have always expected, at least in my generation growing up, because it's always the way it's been, that the employer, you know, provides the benefits for the employee. There are obviously some benefit to the employer to be able to do that, you know, because you're maintaining a pretty well-adjusted workforce that's healthy, showing up to work, you know, very dedicated to their job, and so on. But, again, what we didn't try to do here is we did not try to reinvent the wheel at all where at all possible. The single-payer system would be a pretty awesome thing. That's just not political reality right now around the Capitol. I think we're a ways away from having that happen. So the next step was to say, okay, well, how can we make it more affordable for everyone out there, employer and employee, and allowing all of us to get together is the most inexpensive way to do this, and this is what we're going to have to do until if and when we're ever ready to take that next step and go to a single-payer system.
Appreciate the call, Scott. Cheryl in Racine is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Senator Urbanback. I want to applaud you for your plan. I just have a couple points to make. People, the naysayers of the plan, maybe have not had situations as I have. I have a daughter with a heart defect, and in between jobs trying to get her covered, even as a 19-year-old, nobody will cover them. Your college students that some employer plans will only cover them till age 19 or 18, they're off at college, and they can't get insurance either. And it's my understanding that this plan will cover them and get rid of those loopholes, and that will be a great asset to the community and to my family.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So I just want to applaud you for your plan.
Well, thanks.
And we greatly support it, and we look forward to see it moving on.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Joy, I can't stress enough what this does with those with a pre-existing condition. You know, I think everybody in the state knows of someone who's struggling right now financially, not only physically but financially, because of a pre-existing condition they have, and they can't get health care. If they find some sort of way to get it, you know, it's costing them every single thing they have. Bankruptcies are up in the state for a number of reasons. One of the main reasons is because of health care. And that situation is addressed under this, and you know, theoretically, while the person still has the pre-existing condition, the ability for them to get insurance or not to get insurance goes away. And to me, that's the right thing to do.
Let me go to Boyd in Milwaukee, who may have just had his question answered, but Boyd, go ahead.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for my call. Yes, I did catch a little bit of it. I was inquiring about pre-existing conditions, and also, a lot of employers I noticed, because this unfortunately happened to me, they will, I think, fire their workers. It depends on the business, because I was fired and I was able to get unemployment, but it really came down to is that the employer I worked for, I don't think they did want to pay for my benefits. This was during a probationary period. Does that happen a lot in this state?
I do think there are certain times when people lose jobs simply because the company can't afford the benefit package. I certainly know that being able to afford health care for employees or new employees holds certain companies back from expanding and growing here in the state. All of this is totally taken out of the equation, all of the issues that Boyd brought up, because, again, this is something that the employee will have to provide, the employer will also have to provide it, and one company can't opt out. It's a level playing field for all of the businesses out there. So if Boyd goes from one job to another, his health care benefits remain the same. If Boyd stays in the job, the health care benefits for him and his employer are much more affordable.
Next, we go to Kent in Menominee. Hi, Kent.
Good morning. I think this is wonderful. We're trying to address the health care situation. Liz, I just wondered, what I was concerned about, there are some sectors that cannot raise their income to cover the additional expense on their payroll. We're a nonprofit organization. We have 11 employees. We would really like to have insurance. We competitively bid contracts, and last year our total net gain for income in our company was $10,000, and if you add $350 per employee, I would not be able to make my payroll, and there's no other place to cut funds. And then the other segment that's in this is, for example, a provider that provides Medicaid transportation in Wisconsin, they're paid a mileage rate for their services that hasn't been increased for like over a decade, and they're going broke already. Mm-hmm. And you add their payroll cost to this extent, it's going to put them out of business.
A couple of things, Kent. As much as I want to address Medicaid and up the reimbursement rate, because that solves a lot of problems for a lot of people who do a good job out there providing health care for those on Medicaid, we can't do it right now because it's a totally separate issue from what we're dealing with here. But believe me, we have not forgotten about the low reimbursement rates when it comes to medical assistance in the state. Secondly, if you can't afford this, chances are you or your employees probably would be eligible for Badger Care Plus, which again is why it is so important that this builds on Badger Care Plus and that Badger Care Plus becomes law. If Badger Care Plus does not become law, this doesn't become as much of a workable plan. It's workable, but it's more difficult to do so. Mm-hmm. So it's designed to, this is basically designed for three things: Badger Care, Badger Care Plus, and Healthy Wisconsin. Healthy Wisconsin will be affordable, but if you can't, chances are you qualify for Badger Care Plus or Badger Care.
Yeah, I'm curious, a small nonprofit, I don't know how small that is, 11 employees, would that nonprofit be paying this average of $370 a month for employees?
It all depends. Mm-hmm. It all depends on what the Social Security wages that are paid both by the company and by the employee. But again, one of the things that's built into this mechanism, legislation, is an idea or a plan to make sure that the word gets out on this thing so that everybody in the state of Wisconsin takes a look at exactly what their income is and to see what they are eligible for. Because if you're eligible for Badger Care or Badger Care Plus, those are the programs that you're going to have to be in.
I think we have time for Steve in Milwaukee. Hi, Steve.
Hi. First of all, Senator Erpenbach, thanks so much for all of your hard work on this issue.
Thanks.
I was paying attention to the elections in 2006, and I noticed that there were referenda all over the state on universal health care. And it seems like there was such a huge tide, almost like a brush fire, happening all over the state. And I'm wondering if we're going to have to go through all that again. I mean, what is it going to take to get this passed in Wisconsin? What work are we going to have to do out here?
Well, what's going to have to happen is obviously what we're doing here on this end is getting it in the budget and forcing the discussion with the Republicans. But like I said, after this is done with the state budget in the Senate, we are going to be going all over the state with town hall meetings, meeting with business owners, talking to editorial boards. What you can do to help is call your legislator. You can show up at the town hall meetings. You can talk to local business owners. You can talk to your friends and family and really put the pressure on the legislature. We tend, as a body, to be a little more reactionary than proactive. But this is one of those things where I think the people of the state have been a little ahead of the curve on this issue rather than the legislature being out in front on this one. But this is something that I do think we can change minds of everybody out there in state government and really put this on the front burner and say this is the issue. So I'm relying on people all over the state to take a look at the plan, take a look at the numbers, run them, see how it has effect on you, and then contact your legislators.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. We're out of time for the hour, and we left a lot of callers online, so you have a lot of interest in your topic. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks, Troy.
John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator from Middleton. He chairs the Senate Committee on Health and Human Services, one of the architects of the Senate Democrats' new plan for universal health care in Wisconsin called Healthy Wisconsin. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.